telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom. Oh, what's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. Brian Kelly's in the booth. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Good afternoon, everybody. It's hot out there. A little sticky. Hope you're doing well. We're going to talk a little bit about the weather. A little bit about climate. A little later on, though. I wanted to start out because one of the coolest things that you can ever see in professional baseball happened yesterday while the Brewers were playing.
It's pretty cool. Happens when you take advantage of the situation. You have good base runners and great coaches and things like that.
My dad calls it small ball, right? So you've got base hits, maybe a double, smart base running. You stitch together runs that way, as opposed to what kind of has become the norm in the major leagues, which are guys that are just, you know, if you're a righty, way back on all your weight on your right foot trying to cram the ball into like deep left center.
Yeah,
every time.
And you change your swing angle, which means you're not in the zone as much, and you have to hit it almost directly. Otherwise, you're all or nothing.
Correct. Small ball hitters, guys that choke up, you know, they get down in the count. You're just trying to get the ball in play, put it on the ground, because things can happen. Baseball's one of the beautiful sports, right? Because there's no clock. Pitch clock aside, of course. Don't text me angrily about that. There's no clock. There's no like, oh, this half is over and you win. You play until all of the outs have been counted. And when you play small ball baseball, which is generally speaking been the brand of the Brewers for, I don't know, the last 15 or so years, maybe even longer, because we can't afford payroll to get the superstar big long ball hitters.
You can, but I'm just saying that. Anyway.
Never mind him. He's a Cubs fan.
It has nothing to do with being a Cubs fan. It's just a matter of Oakland could do it. They just choose not to.
Anyways, because I think it has been part of the brand of Brewers baseball.
That I can agree with.
It's nice to see these kinds of things happen. And what happened yesterday in the Brewers win over the Los Angeles Angels. Boy, those games are brutal to watch. I feel I'm up late, bleary-eyed. Was an in-the-park home run that ended up bringing in three runs, and I think we've got the sound from that action in yesterday's Brewers victory. Let's take a listen.
Churio down the right field line, just over the bag and into the corner it goes. Frelick will score. Sanchez, he's going to score as that ball gets away from Adell. Churio thinking about home. He's on his way. The throw is late. Churio in a belly flop. He goes all the way around to score. Three runs are in. It'll be scored as a double and then an error on Adell. Three runs come in.
And the crowd goes wild.
I'm excited I have Churio on two of my teams.
Ah, well done, sir. I have done fantasy baseball myself, and it just took way too much maintenance because you have to be paying attention every day.
Yep.
Who's on the IL? But anyways, for Brewers fans out there, great win yesterday in the park home run. Jackson Churio, off an error. But what he did was he came around second and kept watching the ball and watched the guy bobble it, and he just kept on trucking. So kudos and hats off to Jackson Churio. That puts the Brewers 6.5 games up on St. Louis and 8.5 games up on those dastardly Chicago Cubs. Big series coming up at the end of the month.
Figured out how to eke out a win last night. How about that? Correct. Congratulations to you guys.
Squeak.
Hey, it's the first non-squeaker in a while. They actually won by 3 runs. They lead the majors in one-run games, but that happens when you don't score runs.
Yes, you lose games. Troy from Mount Horeb getting in on the action. How's that choice going for you, Cubs fans?
It's feeling great.
Yeah, stop, Brian. Anyways, remember, if you are in a number of the Civic Media radio station listening areas, you can catch Brewers baseball action on your local Civic Media affiliate. We got WISS, WRCE, and I'm forgetting the other two off the top of my head.
CFW?
Oh, yes. WCFW and
HD2. And we have, I'm sorry, did you get WISS, WRJN,
yes,
and WRCE?
Oh, RJN.
Yep.
RJN was the other one.
So enjoy Brewers baseball. Nothing better than passing an afternoon in the air-conditioned comforts of your own home and watching a little Brewers action. They're playing the Angels again tonight. First pitch at 8:40. So it'll be a little cooler outside.
The Angels without Mike Trout, and they traded away Shohei Ohtani. So it's basically, and Anthony Rendon, whether he's playing or not, doesn't want to play. So they basically are just people with uniforms playing the Brewers tonight.
Yes. We haven't talked about the whole Shohei Ohtani situation at all. Maybe that's a topic we should...
The gambling?
Yes. Fall guy?
The gambling? Let's not get into that, but...
No tangent on the gambling, Brian.
No tangent on the gambling, but yes, Shohei Ohtani also got $500 million to play Major League Baseball, and he seems to be very good at it.
Very good. But that brings me to one of the topics of the day. One of the men considered by many baseball experts to be the best that has ever played the game, Willie Mays, died yesterday at the age of 93. What's remarkable about Willie Mays, and the fact that, you know, he passed away, and again, a lasting forever impact on the game of baseball, is that we're also celebrating Juneteenth Day today. And Willie Mays helped break the color barrier in baseball. The oldest living member of the Baseball Hall of Fame until he passed away yesterday. Just incredible and extraordinary statistics from Mr. Mays. I think one of the reasons that people consider him to be the greatest that ever played the game was just the completeness of Willie Mays' baseball game. Whether it was on the base paths as a hitter or as a fielder, he was just, his skill sets were so pristine and perfect.
If you got a scouting report on some guy, they're like, that's a Babe Ruth kind of guy. You go, oh.
But long if they ball say, hitter.
If you're like,
he'll
oh,
be playing
like,
first.
Like cigars, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but if I hear Willie Mays, that's the quintessential five-tool player is Willie Mays.
Absolutely.
29,000 plate appearances. Just an insane amount of consistently great over that time.
And his baseball career batting average, .301. I mean,
that's hard.
Mike, drop. It's so hard. If you're not a baseball person, that means for every 10 plate appearances, you're getting on base 3 of 10 times. All the time, for your entire career as a Major League Baseball player. These days, that is nearly, almost no one has those kind of stats. Here's some of his other remarkable statistics. 7,112 putouts as an outfielder, ranked number one in Major League history. He had 657 more playing first base, and he won 12 Golden Glove Awards beginning in 1957, the first year the honors were bestowed. His 660 home runs are sixth of all time behind Barry Bonds's I Took the Juice, 762, Hank Aaron's 755, Babe Ruth's 714, Pujols is 703, and A-Rod 696. His over 2,000 runs scored put him seventh on the career list, and his 1,909 runs batted in are 12th. Has over 3,200 hits, puts him at number 13, stole 338 bases.
That's also a lot.
And one of the important things to note about the stolen bases was that kind of baseball wasn't particularly popular at that time. In other words, like the running game, the base path strategy, not a big part of the sport back then, so it is a lot.
It comes and goes, yeah.
He played in 150 or more games in 13 consecutive seasons. I don't think anybody's doing that. Yes.
Albert Pujols did that for a little bit, got hurt once in between, but... Other than that, you got Cal Ripken.
Ripken, yes.
You got a couple other people that, you know, like Matt Olson right now is, I think, had the closest, and it was like maybe a tenth of what Ripken did. It's just having that kind of consistency year over year is amazing.
Playing all the time, playing at that level, you are good at absolutely everything. Leo DeRocher, his manager during most of his years at the Polo Grounds, said, and by the way, that was the field that the Giants played at. He said this about Mr. Hayes. Willie could do everything from the day he joined the Giants. He never had to be taught a thing. The only other player who could do it all was Joe DiMaggio. He continued, but Willie Mays is the closest thing to being perfect I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah. So rest in peace, Willie Mays, truly a groundbreaker. And the way that he played baseball, he was incredibly exuberant. And despite, I think, you know, frankly, back in those days, America's overt racism, inequality baked still into our legal system, he became a source of togetherness. He really, again, not just broke the color barrier, helped break the color barrier, helped continue on the legacy of Jackie Robinson, but really, again, in becoming basically an American treasure.
Yeah, you can sell a lot of tickets saying, oh, I'm going to go see Willie Mays, even if you're the away team.
Yes. That was something truly special, which brings us to today, which is Juneteenth Day. So happy Juneteenth to all of Wisconsin. We're going to take a couple of real quick messages. We're going to come on back. We're going to talk a little Juneteenth, as well as a variety of other foreign policy type issues. We'll get there this afternoon because, you know, nothing going on in the news these days. Not a thing. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Stay with us, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm telling these tears going far away, far away. Oh, may the last one burn into flame. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
A few years ago, Willie rode with me on Air Force One. I told him then what I'll tell all of you now. It's because of giants like Willie that someone like me could even think about running for president.
And just like the river, I've been running ever since. He said it's been a long time coming, but I know my change is gonna come.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join us? You are always welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you give us a call, be sure you tell Brian hello. You can even call him Fancy Brian, like you're one of the cool kids. Happy Juneteenth, everybody. It is the 159th anniversary of Juneteenth. And if you happen to be a folk that doesn't know what it is, not to worry, I am here to help. First off, I do want to acknowledge and thank my friend Reggie Jackson, who is going to join us today. He is the former griot of America's Black Holocaust Museum in Milwaukee, an incredible Wisconsin historian, nationally recognized writer and author. Reggie is just an absolute Wisconsin treasure. Not feeling well, so my best to Reggie.
I really, really like that man.
Yeah.
And the times that I've met, I've gotten to meet him, I feel like I've known him for years.
Yes.
Which is one of those, he's got one of those qualities about him.
Yes. I'm certainly better off for knowing Reggie. Again, best wishes for a speedy recovery, Mr. Jackson. So what is Juneteenth? On this day in 1865, Union soldiers arrived in Texas, and formally announced to the last enslaved people that they were free. And this happened 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. That is, I can't really quite get my head around what that moment must have been like. To have been literally property one day and a free person the next. And I think it's really important to just observe and note we have a long way to go. A long way to go. That's okay. We can acknowledge that and acknowledge the great promise that a place like the United States holds. That's what we can be so incredibly proud of. It is an imperfect union, but we are working to be a more perfect union. We have things that yet need to be accomplished. If you've got any question about that when it comes to race in this country, just a few statistics I thought I would share. 99% of presidents, white. 99% of vice presidents, white. This is all time in the United States. Congress, 85% white. Governors, 98% white. Mayors. What do you think it is, Brian?
I'm going to go with 80. 80-ish?
Mayors, 88% white.
I'm in the 80s.
Close. Military advisors to the president. This is an interesting one.
Oh, crap. 72.
99% white.
Oh, yeah, because you think of the one and you go, oh, there must be 50 of them.
Yeah, it was like Colin Powell. And a few others under the Obama administration and Joe Biden's administration.
Please.
Federal judges, 88%. Police officers, 80% white.
Uh-huh.
People who decide what TV shows we see, 93% white. People who decide what books we read, 90% white. People who decide which news is covered, like me and you, Brian, 85% white. People who decide which music is produced, 99% white. School teachers, 80% white. Full-time college professors, 84% white. Owners of men's pro football teams, 97% white. Owners of men's pro basketball teams, 98% white. Those 75% of the players are black. There's a long way to go. If we were truly equal, it wouldn't look like that. It just wouldn't.
It'd match more or less roughly the population, you know, if you're trying to make it like at least somewhat equitable, you're at least trying to echo what the population is.
By the way, when you do those same statistics for women, and I don't mean to make equivalent sexism and racism. But
oh, those are two different fun things to go and play with.
Presidency, 100% male. Yeah, the statistics along those same things for women, also appalling. Now, I just want to take a moment to Joe Biden made Juneteenth Day a federal holiday. So the banks aren't open today because Joe Biden did that. By the way, that was the first new federal holiday created in nearly four decades. You want to know what the last one was, Brian? You want to guess?
Thanksgiving?
Nope. Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. By the time I get to Arizona.
Uh-huh. Odd bookends, is it not? Joe Biden appointed the most diverse cabinet ever. He cut black child poverty in half. He's appointed more black judges to the federal courts than any other president in history. These things all matter. Oh, I forgot. This is just one other small little tidbit. $16 billion in support for historically black colleges and universities. This matters. All of this deeply matters. Here's what DNC Chair Jamie Harrison and DNC Black Caucus Chair Virgie M. Rollins said in a statement today. As we celebrate Juneteenth and reflect on the resilience And I'll add, triumph of Black Americans. We must recognize that the struggle for Black liberation is not confined to any particular moment, but rather an ongoing, long-term movement for civil rights. We must be the civil rights leaders of our generation and continue the journey toward freedom and equality that started long before us. Yeah. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, white supremacists are my people. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there's fine people on both sides.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very fine people.
As they say, the choice is obvious.
I mean, there's people who will go and say, yeah, but, I mean, look
yeah,
at the,
but
yeah, but, and then there's a Black president, it's all over.
Yeah, but.
Never mind the fact that the next president got popular because he said that the former president wasn't part of this country.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole birther thing. I'm Maggie Dawn. He is Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to get a little news farm update, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere, Wisconsin. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, I'm not going to do it.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join our conversation? You can text or give us a call at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. You can also hit us up through the Civic Media app, which you can get for free wherever you like to get your apps. Brian, you got any Civic Media merch? Nice t-shirt or two?
I have a t-shirt. They actually... You know, it's fun because we have some very large people, not just myself. And so we actually have several 3XLs, and I even may have gotten them to get a tall, 3XL tall.
Tall.
So not, I mean, look, I have to live with this amazing piece of flesh every single day. And but I do recognize that not everybody wants to see the underside of my stomach when I reach for the sky. So I like to wear the tall shirts.
The talls.
Yeah.
We got every size you could possibly need. We've got Civic Media merch. We got local station merch. You can check it out. It's a great way to support Brian and myself, the WAUK, your local Civic Media station, and the network overall, and you'll look super cool doing so.
I like those hats. Those hats are great.
I like the hats as well. You can check all that out by heading over to the Civic Media homepage, civicmedia.us. And click on the store button in the upper right-hand corner and, you know, join us. Sport some tall gear with Brian and I. Before the break, I just wanted to share this little... Have you heard of the TikTok thing about, like, for women, bear or man?
Bear or man?
Yes, on TikTok and some other socials.
I'm assuming that I've been a part of this already, but sure.
No, you have... You're bear... Brian is the bear man. No, it's a thing. Ask women, what would you rather run into in the wild?
Oh, bear or
a bear or a man.
Okay.
Anyone venture a guess as to what most women say?
Oh, bear.
Oh, yeah. I'll take the bear. So part and parcel, I just wanted to share this one. There is another one that is going around. It is a question to Black women. And it is, you're walking into a conference room. Would you rather see a white man or a white woman?
Oh, my.
Answer, overwhelmingly, they'd rather see a white man. And one of the comments I saw, I think, put it best. I'd rather just see the wolf than a wolf in sheep's clothing, which says a lot about where we are at in our country. And the fact that white privilege is operating for women a lot these days.
I just, well, you know, you conjured up a little bit of imagery.
Yeah. Yeah. There is some news going on. I woke up this morning, maybe you did as well, to a headline screaming out from my phone, a news alert from the New York Times, pointing out that Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un had just signed a formal pact pledging mutual support against, in the event of aggression against either country. Vladimir Putin is in North Korea right now. It's his first trip there in 24 years. The last time he was there, it wasn't Kim Jong-un, it was Kim Jong-il, his dad. And what's interesting about this context and the history here is that for many years, there was sort of this uneasy, alliance is too strong of a word, but understanding amongst the United States, China, and Russia that they wanted to keep North Korea from gaining nuclear weapons. That is clearly now completely out the window. There is an explicit, they have actually signed an agreement, Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un, this mutual support, it definitely connotes military assistance. And the difference here, the thing that triggered this, is Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the ongoing war effort there. This sent chills down my spine because, wow. We also know that Iran is an ever more present partner with the Soviet Union. This is what we're seeing here, everybody, is sort of a return to a bit of the Cold War geopolitical divisions.
Well, if I'm looking here, I just, you know, looking at a map.
Yeah.
That was fun. Although maps, you know, just seeing where North Korea is in the world. And it seems to be sandwiched directly in between China and our friends, South Korea and Japan.
And so
it seems to be a really good place to have a, I don't know, a strategic area. And then if you look on the other side, it seems that this whole Iran country is the other side of it and kind of ends up. So if you put those two together, it's almost like Russia's a little bit more insulated and easier to protect. You kind of have a tripod there of all of Asia. You get seven. If you get all of them, you get seven armies per turn afterwards. It's the important part.
It's really, really scary, right? This is very out in the open. Here's what Putin said. This is truly a breakthrough document reflecting the desire of two countries not to rest on their laurels, but to raise our relations to a new qualitative level. That's scary. The Hermit Kingdom, not a good place. The Soviet Union, fast becoming a much larger hermit kingdom. Not a good place. U.S. journalists get snapped up, service members. I mean, it's bad. I mean, we just had on, what was Dr. Yoshiko Herrera, was that just this past Monday?
Just this past Monday.
If you missed Dr. Yoshiko Herrera, political science professor from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, expert on Russia, you can check out that episode from my show at civicmedia.us. This is really, really scary. Putin continued, Pyongyang has the right to take reasonable measures to strengthen its own defense capability, ensure national security, and protect sovereignty. Kim Jong-un called the pact a most powerful agreement and praised the, quote, outstanding foresight of Mr. Putin, the dearest friend of the Korean people. Be concerned. Be very concerned. Russia, North Korea, Iran, China to a certain extent, This is not a good development. And in my opinion, none of this happens if Donald Trump never becomes president. Putin doesn't feel emboldened to try to invade Ukraine. And therefore, Russia isn't in a place where it needs, frankly, these decades-old armaments and munitions and ballistic missiles from North Korea to help its war effort in Ukraine. The exchange, the unspoken tit-for-tat, excuse me, if you will, between Russia and North Korea is that North Korea will give Russia armaments. They're kind of running out of it. Their defense capabilities, again, munitions, ballistic missiles and the like, degraded. Guess what North Korea's awesome at? Their people are starving, but boy, do they know how to pump out the ballistic missiles. Massive stockpiles. So
we don't have that much in common anyway. I mean, that's pretty good.
North Korea's providing Russia with those munitions, with those armaments, and in exchange, I mean, this is what all of the intelligence experts are saying. What would North Korea potentially want from Russia as a nuclear power? Those last bits of science and technology that North Korea needs to build nuclear armaments that can reach the United States. That's what this is all about. That should scare the bejiggers out of each and every one of us. The agreement is, quote, based on mutual transactional needs, artillery for Russia and high-end military technology for North Korea. Quote, they are not united by ideology as in the Cold War, but in common opposition to the U.S. and the liberal order. This is a renewal of Cold War era security guarantees, no doubt. This is all statements by Victor Cha, who worked on North Korea issues during the George W. Bush administration. Not a liberal, not a Democrat, a Republican and a conservative. Yikes. Now, as Brian sort of alluded to, there is an increasingly formal security alliance between the United States, Japan, and South Korea for the very reasons that the South China Sea and that entire region, it's critical for the U.S. to have military presence there and to have military readiness to respond to a potentially nuclear North Korea. In fact, the U.S. has been running joint military exercises with Japan. They anticipate more of that. According to New York Times reporting, desperate for more artillery to press the war effort in Ukraine, Mr. Putin turned to Mr. Kim for some modest help with ammunition in late 2022. That trickle has now reportedly turned into a flood, 5 million rounds of ammunition, and a growing array of North Korea-made ballistic missiles jammed into what the State Department said were 11,000 shipping containers full of arms. Oh, my goodness. So the United States and frankly Western Europe, westernized democracies are approaching and may in fact be in a place where we're engaging in very Cold War era type foreign policy and national security calculus. Right? It's okay, we've got to deter North Korea. We have to secure additional security pacts, joint agreements with those South China Sea allies like South Korea and Japan. You also have to kind of spook the North Koreans out. You run military exercises over there. And you are, in effect, trying to tell North Korea that any attack on the United States would result in basically annihilation of North Korea as a country. But if North Korea is now aligned with Russia, not only to exchange these technological elements and in a transaction where Russia's getting munitions and ballistic missiles, but if they have effectively a mutual defense agreement, now that threat, that deterrence that the United States tries to use to keep North Korea at bay, that whole mechanization, that whole foreign policy approach is kind of thrown askew, right? Because if we would then respond to North Korea, guess who we're in a war with? Russia. Very, very scary.
Calls for speculation here, and this is total speculation on my part. Doesn't Trump have a bunch of secrets that we had?
Probably. We'll remind ourselves of what Donald Trump has said about Vladimir Putin. We're going to take a couple of quick messages. If you're on the line, please stay there. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll go to the text and phone lines when we come back. I don't know about y'all, but I am very concerned. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. We'll be back in just a couple. Stay put, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's nobody that understands the horror of nuclear better than me.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the just-announced military alliance, I don't know what else you could possibly call it, between Russia and North Korea. A terrible development for anybody that loves America, that loves democracy, that loves freedoms. This ain't good. Doesn't matter how you cut the cake. And just in case any of us have forgotten, let's take a listen to what Donald Trump had to say on July 16th, 2018. This is the 11-second cut, Brian. This is at the Helsinki summit. A specific question was asked of then President Trump that went something along the lines of, your intelligence community is saying that Russia poses a threat to the United States, that they've been engaging in a systematized misinformation and disinformation campaigns. And our president said this.
So I have great confidence in my intelligence people. But I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today.
Yeah. So you believe your intelligence community, but Putin told you he didn't do it. So that's what you're going with.
The guy that ran the Russian intelligence agency. You know what? I'm going to trust him at his word.
I'll just take him at his word. By the way, please ask yourself, if you're a conservative, a Republican, in a battle of wits between Donald J. Trump and Vladimir Putin, who do you think might come out on top? And if your response is, well, Joe Biden, blah, blah, Joe Biden at least has the sense to listen to his advisors and experts and doesn't assume that he knows everything about everything. And in case you forgot what Donald Trump thinks of the hermit kingdom and the oppression, the complete and utter lack of a free press, free society, any sort of anything that resembles an American value, even one of them, that is North Korea and its leader, Kim Jong-un. This is what Donald Trump had to say about Kim Jong-un on June 15th, 2018.
He's the head of a country, and I mean, he is the strong head. Mm-hmm. Don't let anyone think anything different. Right. He speaks and his people sit up at attention. I want my people to do the same.
What?
Let's listen to that one more time.
He's the head of a country, and I mean, he is the strong head. Mm-hmm. Don't let anyone think anything different. Right. He speaks and his people sit up at attention. I want my people to do the same.
He wants military parades so that he can feel important and have people salute him.
CJ, is that an okay thing for a U.S. president to say that, you know, he admires Kim Jong-un because his people are basically oppressed? Is that an acceptable statement for a president to make?
Well, one thing, there's two different histories under Biden and under Trump.
CJ, I'm asking you for heaven's sake, CJ, this is an easy question. Just say what Donald Trump said about Kim Jong-un is inconsistent with American values. Can we agree on that, CJ?
Never invaded another country.
Okay, never mind. We'll give Gary from Sussex a crack at it. Is what Donald Trump has said about Vladimir Putin and about Kim Jong-un disgusting and not consistent with American values? Do we agree about that, Gary?
Well, Putin is a conniver, and he's very smart, and he's very dangerous. And with Korea and, you know, going with Putin, it's bad, Maggie. I agree 100%. But I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather have Donald Trump in charge than Joe Biden.
Because he's got so much foreign policy experience? I mean, the man has none.
Well, the thing is, what did Barack Obama's Secretary of State say about Biden? He said he's been wrong in everything that he's talked about on foreign policy. And this is coming from Barack Obama's Secretary of State, you know?
I don't want to get into a debate on that, the merit of what that guy said, but I'll just say this. I would rather have someone who gets things wrong, and I disagree with you that Biden's gotten everything wrong on foreign policy, but that actually tries to have a grasp of the issues, that actually tries to understand things, than someone who just presumes that whatever he thinks is correct without talking to a single expert. I mean, forget who the people are for a second. Don't you think that somebody that at least has the humility to try to understand the complexities and the threats here is, all else being equal, a better choice?
Well, I'm going back to Crimea under Barack Obama when Putin came in there and took that. When
Barack Obama failed on that. He put down a bright line. He failed to enforce it. I totally agree. But so what now? Right? Should we get another guy that doesn't get it right?
I'm just telling you, I think, Maggie, you know, as much as I like you as a person, and I believe that a lot of the stuff that you say is coming from your heart, and I think you're a really good person.
She also backs it up with facts, Gary, like documented facts. Do you have any facts to back up that Trump would actually do anything? Do you have any facts to that end? Or else are you just saying, I feel this way, Gary? Do you have facts, or are you just saying, I feel it?
Brian, my opinion. No.
And there you go, buddy.
My opinion is I think we'd be safer with Trump than with Biden.
Because why? That's not just your feeling. I'm gonna lean into what Brian's saying here. And I do kind of want to get at the answer to this question. Can we forget who the people are for just a moment? What parties or what letters are behind their names? If I said to you that there was a candidate that had 50 years of experience in government, that listens to expert advisors when it comes to foreign policy, that believes that Vladimir Putin is a threat to the United States and our democratic values, that believes that Kim Jong-un is a threat to America and our democratic values, that there was one candidate that fit all of those things, check, check, check. And there was another candidate who probably couldn't pick North Korea out on a map, who listens to no one, who presumes that he is right about everything and has zero humility nor desire to understand any of the nuance that attends to foreign policy, who has had multiple of his military advisors, former cabinet levels, saying he's unfit to lead, and who people have said the man can't read anything, you got to give him pictures, and it shouldn't be more than one page. Which of these two people sounds like a more reasonable candidate for president?
Maggie, those are your opinions about...
No, those aren't my opinions, Gary. That's kind of the problem, sir. Those are facts. If you want to know, Gary, if CJ wants to know, if anybody who actually cares about facts wants to know, just Google former Trump cabinet and military officials who say he's unfit. There's about 40 of them. It's really that simple. Feelings aren't facts. It's the top of the hour already. You got news, weather, and sports coming up. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
I don't think Jesus would be very happy with Donald Trump one.